You're in the mix in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
I'm in production, doing a remix. Worldwide enigma, making platinum hits. New wine coming, get some of this. Stand and give God the praise.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Building that no one on the wave.
Catch the wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Gospel music, and it's this. Catch the wave on the NFI.
I want y'all to put y'all hands together. We're in Durham, North Carolina, at the River Church. Put your hands together for Ruth LaAndre!
Somebody say that he's been better to me than I can ever be to myself. That good, that good, that good. And you know what? I was just sitting there thinking, in this year alone, so many people have lost their faith. And they said, how can you say God's been good to me? I mean, and I thought about saying, he's a keeper. He's a way maker. He's a provider. Even in a pandemic. But the Bible also says that it's impossible to please God without faith. Anybody got a faith on tonight? Come on, he's been good. He's been just that good. Come on, come on, come on. He never left you nor forsaken you. Listen, in all that we go through, he's a company keeper. So listen, we want to just encourage you on today and leave this message with you.
God has his hands on you. He's keeping me. So don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel.
There's one thing I know, God will bring you through.
doing it. He's doing it right now. I have no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not discovered.
Oh, no, no, no.
I won't be dismayed.
Because yeah.
God is doing a new thing right now. Claim your healing. Claim your deliverance. Claim your breakthrough.
Out of the car and got me out to safety. And When they got me out, I said, Lord, I want to thank you, because things could have been worse than what they were. And I want to tell all of you who are out there right now, if you've got your hand in God's hand, God will take care of you. Sometimes it may not seem like it, seem like the road is rough, the going gets tough, but he will take care of you. And I don't know about you right now, thought I'm going to lose my feet and legs, but if you could see me right now, I'm walking on my feet, I'm walking on my legs, and I just give God the praise right now, because he didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway, and I want to let y'all know that he will.
Oh,
clap your hands,
standing on your
won't be.
I just won't be.
I'm gonna be just like that tree.
I just
yeah.
Won't be.
That's planted by the river of water.
I just won't be.
That no matter what comes my way.
Yeah.
I just won't be.
I just won't be.
I'm gonna be just like Jacob.
I am your radio host, Faith. It's 29 minutes after 8 a.m. We will be right back with more gospel music.
You're tuned into the stellar award-winning internet radio station.
You're at the right place at the right time.
The NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. Yo.
Hold up. Wait just a minute.
It's on your radio.
Yo. Keep it locked right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired. Showcase fellowship inspired.
You've got the hottest DJ in the game coming through your speaker.
I was born in Haiti. My daddy was a minister. He believed in having churches in the hood, you know what I mean? He brought us to Newark, New Jersey after Brooklyn, 1108 South Orange Avenue. Let me take you back to what gospel, Caribbean vibes felt like in that church.
Hello, God.
Hello. Hello, God.
Hello.
Hello, God.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, God.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hello,
we got another testimony.
Hello, God.
Hello.
Hello.
Damn.
I feel in the darkness of the night, and in the valley you're right by my side. And though I think it's strange, each time I run from pain, when that's the tool you use to make me right, so I say,
holy, 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 take your shoes off, this ground is holy.
Y'all ready for the real talk?
pressure. Cause sometimes I have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. Ooh, oh, oh, yes. Yes, I am. Oh, rebuilding my life. Cause this time I gotta get it. Oh, this so high. It done weather.
Won't you to make me and just hear what they want me. right now. The reason why the devil is fighting you the way he is, because you're just blessed like that. But know this.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We come to let you know that the devil don't like it, but you're blessed like that.
Oh, the devil don't like it.
Just like that.
Devil don't like it.
Please make me whole.
Please make me whole.
I surrender all.
woman. I made a mess of things. So here I am, Lord. Take me as I am. Meet me where I am. You promised in your word that if I call upon you, that you will answer. Does anybody need him in this place tonight?
We are right at the top of the hour. I am your radio host, Faith. Look, you don't have to stay in the way you feel today, if you are down. Hold your head up, and call on Jesus Christ. He can fix any problem. I'll be right back with more music, right after this.
You're in the mix in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
I'm in production, doing a remix. Worldwide Enigma making platinum hits. New wine coming, get some of this. Stand and give God the praise.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Stand up on your feet and say, oh,
healing, healing,
much love around here to show. You and now we clearly know. Some days I high, some days I low.
Blessings, blessings, yeah.
people's station.
Good morning, good morning. It's Monday, and you are catching the wave live here from the studios of the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I'm your host, Thurl and Kearney, and you are welcome to join us right here to Beat the Odds, a program designed for you to come out of the situation you've been dealing and facing, whether it's a financial situation, those of you have been going through abuse, some of you been hurt, some of you even right now are in a situation you don't know how to get through, huh? And those of you been believing God for your breakthrough, for your prayer, well, this program is designed for you to come out of that situation. It's To Beat the Odds, where we have an awesome panel of men and women coming forth each Monday at 9:30 a.m. And joining me on this Monday, she's back again from Raleigh, North Carolina, is Elder Kerry Harris, Pastor Word of Deliverance Ministries out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And from Youngsville, North Carolina, is Reverend Dantes Lee. And from Greensboro, North Carolina, Mr. Michael Booker. All that and more and many others right here on To Beat the Odds. Sit back, get your Bible, get your word out, because we're going to bring forth the word line upon line, precept upon precept, and we want you to tell a neighbor and a friend to lock in right here to Beat the Odds. And you can call in and make your comment at 347-215-8049. Again, that phone number, you can call in live here at the studios, 347-215-8049. We are live here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina on this wonderful Monday. I'm your host, Thurl and Kearney, and today, right here on Beat the Odds, we are going to be talking with a panel of awesome men and women of God, and the topic this morning is miracles, signs, and wonders through prayer. Miracles, signs, and wonders through the power of prayer. On last week, we talked about the power of prayer as we discussed the topic today. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you, and welcome again to Beat the Odds, and certainly giving God the praise, the glory, and the honor, and thank all of you again for joining us on this Monday. And those of you, if you are at home or wherever you are on your job, feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear your comment and express your word or thought. It would definitely be a blessing to others. And if you have a testimony that you would like to share during this time, because we're going to be talking about miracles, then if you have a testimony, we would love for you to share it with someone, because you may be a blessing to someone away from you that you don't even know. And you can definitely call in right here at 347-215-8049. All right, well, let's get started on this topic. And before we do, I would love for someone to go forward with prayer this morning. Reverend Lee, will you open up with prayer this morning?
Yes, praise the Lord, Saints, Pastor Kearney, to our distinguished panel guests, and to the listening audience. Just want to touch and agree, if you would join hands right now, if someone is in the room with you. If no one is in the room with you, the Holy Spirit, join hands with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your revelation. In Jesus' name, have your way. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's get started here. And once again, I want to thank all of you so much. Those of you, your response has been awesome. Your emails, and those of you that send messages through Facebook, we appreciate every kind word that you share to let us know that you're locking in, and we thank you so much again. Okay, well, let's get started. Will, let's start with a definition of a miracle.
Okay, yes. A miracle is when something happens that you know no human being could have done. So you know it had to come directly from God.
Glad that you said that. Look, hold that thought. I know, Reverend Lee, I know you're ready to come back with something. Hold that thought. I got to take a 30-second break. Be right back right after this.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Barbara Watson coming to you from Lewisburg, North Carolina, Christian Life Church of God, Inc., along with
Co-Pastor Gladys Smith. We invite you to join us on Tuesdays from 9:30 to 10 o'clock a.m. and on Thursdays from 1 o'clock to 1:30 p.m., where we teach the Word of God and we enjoy the Word of God. Join us.
Catch the way.
All right, we are back live here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. You're catching the wave, and we are back here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we are here with an awesome panel today on To Beat the Art. And we are talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. You can call in right here at the studios, 347-215-8049. We would love for you to hear from you and express your comment. Right here, 347-215-8049 with Elder Carys Harris from Raleigh, North Carolina. Also, Reverend Dantes Lee from Youngsville, North Carolina. And Brother Michael Booker from Greensboro, North Carolina. They're right here on the panel with us. And you can join us once again here from the studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, let's get back to the discussion on To Beat the Art. All right. Welcome back, everybody. And we're going to continue here. And Reverend Lee, I believe you had something you want to say.
Yes, I really enjoy those comments, Brother Booker and Elder Harris, Pastor Harris. One of the things that the Lord, he wants us to understand that when you limit Him, you're going to limit His miracles. One of the things that
Amen. Calls
the truth. Children of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years and possibly longer than that because they limited God. That was really why they were wandering in the wilderness. They limited God. And,
right.
and I see limitations in churches and even in my own life everywhere I go. You know, one of the things that the Lord has rebuked me on, He has rebuked me for limiting Him. You know, I'm just going to tell this little short story because sometimes after we get saved, we have false humility. We have false humility. We think that we humble when we just, we just get saved and then we go to church and, we serve in the church, we sing in the choir, we take up money. Listen, I've done all of that in my lifetime as a child. Growing up in the Methodist church, serving in the church, being an usher, doing these things. We think that that's the only thing to do in the church, and that's what's being taught. But see, God, just like when you look at the disciples, and you look at how disciples, they were with Jesus, but then when Jesus told them to go at a certain place in their ministry, He was trying to bring them up to another level in their ministry. They could not heal certain people when you study the scripture. And the reason why they could not heal certain people is because they were saved, they were living, a Christian life, but they had no power. They had no
Amen.
Power.
Amen.
Jesus,
Amen.
Jesus was always trying to teach them, keep your eyes on me and you will maintain the power, because they couldn't cast out a spirit or something was happening, and it caused a ruckus. One man said, "Look, Jesus, I brought my son, my daughter, my son to you," and they couldn't heal him. And,
Amen.
When you look at the church today, we're in the same boat.
That's
I mean,
right.
we,
we can't talk about the disciples. We can't talk about them because we're doing the same thing. But I just want to just tell this little story. The Lord had to rebuke me about false humility because I'm thinking that the power is of me when you think, well, should I pray for somebody? It's not about you. It's not about me. When God asks you to pray for somebody, you're supposed to pray for them. It's not about you. It's not about you elevating yourself. It's about you glorifying God. And so
I met
this man, and, you know, I had knew this guy and his wife, this white brother. I saw him at Walmart. Me and my wife was in Walmart, to make a long story short. He told me that his wife was suffering. She had been suffering with cancer for a long time, and she was going back to the doctor to see, you know, to get these tests ran. They wanted to see if she still had cancer in her body. So, you know, the Lord had told me, he said, look, go pray for that man. And see, I didn't want to go pray for him. I didn't want to go pray for him because it was right in the produce aisle, and I was worried about somebody looking at me and watching me pray for this man. That's false humility. That's false humility.
Uh-huh.
And so when I finally obeyed, I went and prayed for the man right there on the produce aisle. And guess what? Met the man again another month. He said his wife met them almost at the same spot a month later. That was a coincidence. That was a miracle. At the same Walmart, at the same spot, walking into the Walmart, walking down the produce aisle, he said, you know what? He said, Brother Lee, go over there. He said, look at my wife. He said, she cancer free.
Wow.
And so God, and I'm not a big time evangelist. I'm a peon in my own eyes. I'm a peon. I'm nobody, but I'm somebody with Jesus.
Yeah,
I heard you.
And that's what we need to believe. That's believers, because see, we get too caught up in ourselves. I was caught up in my flesh, and you know, if I had not obeyed God, that thing brought me to my knees when that brother, because I did not even believe myself that his wife was going to be healed. I was just going through the motions, praying for his wife, and I really didn't have any faith, really, to tell you the truth. I'm not this great man of faith. You know, I really didn't have any faith, but you know what? He had faith. He believed, and when I grabbed him by the hand, guess what? He came back and said his wife was healed.
To God be
glory. Amen. All right. Amen. Look, we got Sister Renee Robinson. She wants to share her testimony. Sister Renee.
The doctor said, you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome is one of the leading causes of infertility. My heart had always been to be a mother. I just felt like that was the long-term ministry that God had called me to, and I just felt like, Lord, you know, we tried the infertility treatments, that didn't work. We tried adoption, that didn't work. We tried foster care, that didn't work. What's going on? There were days where I couldn't even go to work because I was just in bed just crying, Lord, why can't I have a child? What is wrong with me? Please help me. Please cure me. And that's when it started to just overtake me. I turned 30, and I just told the Lord, I just want 30 to be my best year. And I really had to submit that, whether I had children or not, because it had become an idol. And children are wonderful, they're great, they're a blessing, but for me it had really become an obsession to get pregnant, and if I couldn't do that, then to have children by any means necessary. And that can get unbalanced when you put that above other things, other more important things in your life. And so I really just had to submit that to the Lord. Yes, I'm 30. I don't have any children yet, but I know that God is the God of the impossible. And I went on a Daniel fast, and I told the Lord, if I have to fast for the next few years, few months, few weeks, however long, I just need breakthrough in this area of my life. I really need to have a submitted heart. And I got myself just into some good Bible teachings about faith, about believing the Lord, about believing him really for the impossible, because for us, pregnancy was looking like an impossibility. In January, I turned 30, and on March 5th, we found out that we were pregnant absolutely naturally, supernaturally. And so God just gave us the desires of our heart. early on, I went to the doctor just to confirm the pregnancy, to see the heartbeat and all of that. And as we were hearing that heartbeat, and tears were just welling up in our, like, that's a heartbeat. That's an actual person in there. You know, she's only like 6 weeks in utero. I asked the ultrasound tech at that point if she could just take a look at my ovary and see what was going on there, if the cysts were still there. And she said, "What cysts?" And I was like, "Well, I have polycystic ovarian syndrome." And she showed us the ultrasound and she said, "We don't see any." It was just really confirmation that God does hear us and love us and is the giver of good gifts. My name is Renelle Roberts and my daughter is Daphne Roberts and she is 3 months old.
Baby Glory.
Praise God. Did you hear? I know all of you. But I won't allow you to go ahead. But did you hear the key word she said? Fast. She fasted.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Faster than planned.
Okay. Let me tell you something that went on last week on this program, and Reverend Kearney can attest to it because I had talked to him about it beforehand. I can't remember who prayed that last prayer last week as we went off the air.
Reverend Lee.
But, okay, Reverend Lee, so you listening, so I want you to hear this. As he was getting ready to pray that last prayer, I wanted to stop him and ask him to pray for something. And because I had lost all of my credentials, my associate degree, my bachelor's degree, my ordination certificate, I had lost it all. And I found out that I could not get it back from the school because somebody had taken all of the records away from the school.
Mm.
And so I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to say anything. When Reverend Lee prayed, he prayed for something that was lost to be found. And he said when it was found, it would be found in a dark place. Now, I want you to tell you what happened. My secretary walked up into my house. She had a copy of every one of those things that had been lost. And it was found in a dark place in a drawer in her office.
Wow.
So that's what happened. Just last week on this show, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
When I had applied for my 501c3, I had to have a copy of all of those papers, and my secretary had them in her office.
Mm.
So I got a copy of everything, and it was found in a dark place.
That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Wow. Ooh,
Reverend Lee, did you hear what you didn't even know what you were doing, but
Brother,
you was in the spirit.
It's like that all the time. You know, I give all glory to God. I'm nobody, you know. But, you know, it's like when you humble yourself, when you truly humble yourself to God, you want God to use you, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's not about my name. It's about the glory to God. And that's, you know, it's nothing to give me more joy when I see the people of God blessed. You know, because you never know. Sometimes the devil will attack people that have different kinds of anointing on their life, because sometimes people, you go in these churches, they make you feel shame. They make you shame if you speak in tongues. They make you feel like, I had one professor when I was in the seminary, he said, well, you know, he didn't really know I probably spoke in tongues, but he might have known, but he didn't really know, because I never spoke out in tongues in his classroom. But he told me, he said, look, people that speak in tongues, they ain't nothing but a bunch of gibberish. He said, they ain't nothing but a bunch of gibberish. And so, you know, God wants to use people, but we got to be willing to let God to use us. And the only way we can do it is just like that lady said, the testimony. You know, what really helped me start walking in the anointing is me. I try to fast every week. Every week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fasting
friend, I have to. That's the only way I can live my life for the Lord. And I don't tell anybody that I'm fasting and praying. You know, me and my wife, we do that. We fast on something every week. We're always, you know, that's why the scripture tells us to pray without ceasing, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we fast. If you're a believer and you love the people of God, you don't never know when you're going to walk up on somebody and God might have to use you, just like when I was at the Walmart. I want to be ready to be used anywhere that I go. Anywhere that I go, I want to be used by God. Because I don't
know when
somebody's going to say, brother, pray for me. I want to be ready. I want to help somebody. And see, when you have that compassion and that love, that's the way Jesus was. Jesus was going around praying for dead children. That the woman that had her only son died. But you know what? He touched the casket, and that mm-hmm. boy was raised. That's the kind of power the church is supposed to have. My God, let me stop.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. You know, you were talking about that, and the young lady mentioned fasting. You remember the disciples, they were going, and they were walking, and they ran by, I believe it was a man that had this damn cell spirit, and
yeah.
They went back to Jesus and said, we can't understand. We prayed for him, but he still had that spirit over him. And Jesus said,
yes,
this
mm-hmm.
can only come by fasting.
Fasting
and prayer. Some things come by fasting and prayer.
That's right.
That's why mm-hmm. it's important, as Lemley said, to fast. And mm-hmm. I'm one of them that do that also. I don't say nothing sometimes. And sometimes people say, well, I ain't heard you on the radio at all this week. Well, if you ain't heard me, you best believe I'm somewhere. I done stealed away. And that I leave it
mm-hmm.
at that. But I done stealed away. And you have to. I don't take this lightly. When you're dealing over the airways like we are, we're dealing with a principality, rules of darkness in high places.
That's right.
And you have
That's right.
to have yourself sharpened as well as putting your plate down to deal with mm-hmm. this.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
amen. That's right.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Brother Booker.
Well, I you know, Reverend Lee said something, and I just want to say that, you know, the church has become, when I say the church, I'm talking about the people, has become too committed. And I know I can hear the minds out there in Radio Man working right now. What does he mean, the church has become too committed? This is what I mean. What I mean is this. A commitment is something that we have to keep. Now, God doesn't mind us being committed to, you know, natural things. We're committed to our jobs. We're committed to our families. God does not mind us being committed to certain things. He has no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the church, when we are committed to the church, most of the time we find ourselves in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, what we think is the right reason. And I'm going to tell you
mm-hmm.
why. Because commitment is something that we have to keep.
Amen.
Surrender is something, it's when God keeps us.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender is the greater.
That's it.
Surrender, when we surrender.
That's it.
To Jesus Christ.
That's
see,
it.
Commitment
That's
will stop us from doing what God has called us and wants us to do. Because, see, it's better
mm-hmm.
for God to keep us than for us to keep ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. See, once we surrender to God, he'll establish our commitments. See what I'm saying? See,
That's
if
right.
you got a
mm-hmm.
lot of people in the wrong positions.
That's right.
You know,
come on now.
And see, when we get in the right position, people say, well, where be the miracles of God? Well, first of all, where be the order of God?
Mm-hmm. Come on,
where
bro.
Be the order of God? That's what I want to know.
You finna preach to me.
Because people, they're committed to the pastor. They're committed
mm-hmm.
to the church. They're committed
right.
to their little position.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not committed to the things that God is really calling them to.
Come on, preach.
See,
mm-hmm.
I had to learn how to surrender I was committed. I was committed to the usher ministry and the deacon ministry and the evangelistic ministry and the children's ministry. I was committed to Florida. Oh, man, I was committed to the Bible college, and I was committed to all that good stuff. And I thought I was doing the work of the Lord. But I was just as defeated as I could be. And the reason I was defeated is because I wasn't doing what he wanted me to. See, he was telling me, Mike, I want you to go back home. You got a son you need to be trying to influence and help raise. I want you to get out of this church. I want you to get out of these ministries because I'm calling you home. See, I had to surrender. And when I surrendered and allowed God to establish my commitments, I began to see miracles. I began to see miracles in my life. I began to see my children's character. God began to work on my children's character. See, he began to work on my character. Man, that's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
You know,
that's a miracle.
So we have to understand surrender is when God keeps you. It's better for God to keep you. Commitment is what you got to keep. But if, if we understand that if when God keeps us, then we're having no problem keeping our commitment. And I just want to say that to all those ones that's out there.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Amen.
Surrender.
Amen. Surrender. Hold on. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. 30-second commercial. We'll be right back.
New Directions Unlimited offers customized travel services and specializes in river cruises to destinations around the world. Find us online at newdirectionsunlimited.com or call 919-570-0232 to speak with a New Directions Unlimited travel concierge. Begin your journey to the experience of a lifetime and make lasting memories. New Directions Unlimited. See the world. Discover self. Travel.
That's brought to you by New Directions Travel Service. And those of you want to take a cruise, take a new cruise. You know, you take a cruise on a ship, but take a cruise, a river cruise. And in that river cruise, you are able to visit different cities, stop there, get off, visit the city for about an hour and a half, get back on the river ship and cruise on down the ocean, the ocean side around different cities. New Directions Travel Service. Welcome back to the program to Beat the Odds, and certainly what a time we're having. Bless each and every one of you. I know someone had something they wanted to say off of that. Now, we've been talking about miracles and signs. What happens after a miracle take place? Do we just get right back into our normal as if it never happened? Or do we share the testimony with someone else?
Wow, that's another good question, Brother Kearney. I'm going to tell you about myself, and I can only talk about myself, is that I'm just like probably worse, just like the disciples. You know, they saw Jesus doing all these miracles. When God do something, I mean, I've seen so many miracles. He's done so many things for me. He's done many miracles. I mean, he's just done, and I'm not bragging, but what happens is that because we are so susceptible to things of this world, and we really, I don't know how God put up with us sometimes, put up with me, because we right back in the flesh. That's what happens to me. I'll see something, God will do something, and then I'm right back at unbelief, point one. I'm right back in unbelief again. You know, I can believe God for a certain thing or for somebody else, but then if I'm dealing with something in my life, a struggle, I'm struggling with it. And God has to remind me. He said, look, use your faith. He's constantly telling me you gotta walk by faith and not by sight. That's why Paul told us in the Word. I mean, you know, now I can kind of identify with what Paul was saying. He's saying, you look, why did Paul say you got to fight the good fight of faith? Because it was fight, brothers and sisters. It's a continuous fight. You know, because, you know, we just prone. I mean, you can be, you know, you can see somebody heal, see somebody set free, and then before you know it, something will happen. And I'm gonna tell you, the devil will hit you with something and it'll shut you right down. That's why we have to stay in fellowship with God, stay in fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters. That's really what the church is supposed to be for. But sometimes you find so much unbelief in the church, you got to get out of the church and get separated with yourself with God in order to keep your faith. And you know, that's one I'm struggling with. Sometimes, you know, you're around people and you try to share the goodness of God. You know, it's like Oral Roberts used to say, my mother watched him on television, I watched him with her sometimes. He said something good is going to happen to you. You know, and you know, we're so used to hearing bad news and seeing bad news. When God is trying to do something good, we got to train ourselves to walk, you know, because negativity going on all around us. You got to train yourself to see the goodness of God, and because God is doing something good every day.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, amen. He is. Ella Hurst, you know, you were talking about, I think before we go, I would love, I know Ella Hurst, I think she shared a testimony. Reverend Lee, I think you shared one. Brother Booker, I don't know if you did share a testimony that has happened with you or not. Did you share one?
No, it happened. No.
A miracle.
Yet.
Would you like to share one?
Oh, for sure. One of the most significant miracles for me in my life was when me and my wife we were trying to have our son, and you know, we just went churches. We went to the church I attend now, and as we were standing there worshiping, wasn't members, hadn't been there, but just a few times maybe, and one of the we didn't know who he was. You know, come to find out, you know, he was one of the prophetic leaders of the church, and he had come up to us, and he asked us, number one, are you tithers? We say, sure, we give, you know, we're not members, but we're tithing here. And he said, well, you know, you're going to have a son. And he described, and he said, he's not going to want for anything. God's going to take care of everything. And you know, we were, of course, we were super excited, you know, and so we went home, and, you know, man, you know, our faith was through the roof. How many of you know? A faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted, right? Mm-hmm. So that faith is gonna have to be tested. So when we got home and next thing you know, hey, got pregnant, you know, everything is going well. My wife started getting sick. And, you know, she started getting sicker and sicker, to come to a point where she couldn't keep any food down. She started losing weight, you know, she weighed about 138 pounds. She went down to probably about 105 pounds. And so we had to admit her to the hospital. And I had two girls, you know. So I'm at home. I'm mad because she's in the hospital. You know, I got two girls, you know, they're little girls, you know. And they're probably about six and three. And, you know, I'm trying to play Mr. Mom, trying to braid hair and pick out their clothes and take them to school. And, man, you know, I'm doing all that stuff. And, you know, the doctor said, well, she's going to be okay. We're going to give her some medication. She'll be out. And a week rolled by, she ain't out. 2 weeks, she ain't out. I'm getting mad by now because I'm like, I need my wife home because these girls are wearing me out. So make a long story short, y'all, you know, she couldn't keep no food down, so they had to put up what's called a PICC line in her, and they had to hook up to what's called nutrition so she can get some nutrition because the baby was taking everything. And so what the Lord did, I was at church one Sunday, and pastor was preaching on communion, and we was going home, and the Holy Spirit told me, he said, go to the hospital to have communion with your wife. And she couldn't eat anything, so I had to take it in proxy for her, and I did. And as soon as I did, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, tell the doctor, she was taking two medications, but the Holy Spirit said, tell the doctor to take these same medications at the same time. And no sooner I got ready to do that, the midwife poked her head through the door, and she said, you know what, I think I'm going to give you these same medications at the same time. Man, I could have jumped through the roof. And as soon as she did give my wife those same medications at the same time, immediately she was able to eat. You know, wow. She was able to eat. And I'm here to tell you, you know, that was a miracle for me because they didn't know why. She couldn't hold no food now. They didn't have any idea. But see, God knew.
God knew.
Mm-hmm. And it's because I was lined up. See, it's because I was surrendered. It's because I was humble. It's because I was going into his presence. Because when I was angry, when I was mad at the situation, you know, God told me, said, Mike, you're frustrating my grace. And I said, what do you mean? he said, you haven't accepted grace for this situation. He said, you hadn't accepted this situation. I said, I thought I wasn't supposed to accept it. He said, no, you accept it, and I'm going to give you grace for it. And as soon as he did, I turned into Mr. Mom. Man, I was cleaning and folding clothes and doing hair and doing everything. By the time she got home, she had to do nothing. Mm-hmm. But that's how he does. That's part of the miracle. And the question was, what do you do after you receive the miracle? I changed.
Mm-hmm.
I changed. Mm-hmm. I let that miracle get to me. I let that miracle change me. I meditated on that miracle. I thought about that miracle. You know how you see the hogs? They wall in the mud and they wall in the. And I wallowed in that miracle. And I let that miracle bother me and get down inside of me. And I told people about it. And it changed my life forever. And from that day to this day, my faith is not in faith. My faith is not in pastors. My faith is not in people. My faith is in what Jesus Christ is able to do. That's why faith for me is simple. Faith is simple. It's simply what Jesus Christ is. If your faith is in Christ, then your faith is in what he's able to do. And he's demonstrated through his word everything he's able to do. So now I have no doubt. What I'm a doubt about? He done showed me. Now my eyes have seen and my ears have heard.
Amen. I got a powerful. I've got a 4-minute testimony, probably less than that. I just want to share because there's so many. But this one here really changed some things that I never thought of that would happen. I needed to get downtown Raleigh, in which many of you know I'm not able to drive. So I needed to get downtown Raleigh, and I needed to catch the bus. So I have to make a transfer from one bus to another to get downtown Raleigh. I needed to get to the television station. Many of you know we have an NFI television broadcast. I needed to get there because if I didn't get there, my contract would have ended that day where I wouldn't no longer be able to be on that network at that time. So I didn't. I called around. Everybody I called couldn't get them. I don't know where they were. Everybody called. I couldn't get them. They would not answer the phone. So I'm saying, well, how in the world am I going to get downtown? I said, now, I only have about $8, $9 in my pocket. I got to get downtown. Then I had to pay them to be reinstated. So I get over to catch the bus over by Walmart, and there's an Arby's store there. So I had to go to the restroom, and I said, well, I need to run into Arby's before I get on this bus because I know the bus ain't going to stop. So I went into Arby's, went into the restroom. In the restroom, after I'm washing my hand, I call a friend of mine, and he said, well, it's going to be another hour before I can get there. I said, man, I don't know if we're going to get there in time. It may be closed. He said, well, I'm on my way. I don't know. So I said, well, okay. So the man heard me over the phone sharing. So when I turn around wiping my hand, this man steps out from the back where he was using the bathroom. He come out of the door, and he had his hand folded up. He said, sir, he said, will this help you? And he had it roll up. And he said, I said, what you mean? He said, take this. And I said, sir, this for me? He said, yes, sir. So I didn't look at it. I put it in my pocket. I said, thank you, sir. I said, are you from around here? He said, no, sir, I'm not from here. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I said, so what? From Dallas, Texas? He said, yeah, I just came down to visit my daughter. So when I put it in my pocket, I said, well, maybe he just blessed me with $20. So when I got back home, the man had them bless me. Before I got back home, I said, I'm seeing this man from Dallas, Texas. So He went back and grabbed his coat. He had a leather long coat. It was during the wintertime, leather long coat. It was a cowboy coat, and he had on a cowboy hat. So when he come out of Arby's, I'm standing out there, and I saw the man come out of the door, but I never seen the automobile that he was driving leave. And I'm trying to figure out where this man went to. That's how serious this was. So when I got home, I opened and went in my pocket. Man, it gave me $100. So I'm just saying to you, $100 bill. I'm saying to you, never seen this man before. He came from Dallas, Texas, and blessed me with $100. I was able to do what I needed to do that day. And I'm saying, my God, you my mean God will bless you in the bathroom? You don't know you might be missing a blessing right in the restroom. So I'm telling you, I learned that God will bless you anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yes, he will. Mm. Yes, he will.
Anywhere.
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 Anywhere. Any place, it don't make no difference. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a mighty God. Yes, he
Amen.
Is. Oh, my God. I feel something rising up.
Hold on, Reverend Lee. Hold on. I'll ask you to end us in prayer. But, Elder Hurst, I want you to just give your word on that faith that they were talking about. Maybe there's somebody right now that they've been looking for that miracle. What word can you let them know? They've been hearing us.
Yes.
Okay. Let me say this. I don't know what it is about Walmart, but it keep coming up today. Okay. I went to Walmart to get my Deacon Larry Gilmore. The manager of the Wings of Faith was in there. He had just gotten out of the hospital, and he had had some serious heart attacks. That's been, 7, 8 years ago. And he told me that the doctor said he couldn't go back to work. I said, the doctor is a lie. The word said, by his
stripes.
You know what I'm trying to say. You were healed.
Mm-hmm,
so if you
mm-hmm.
were healed, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, I declare it to be so.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do you catch that word? He said, you know, he said, I can't remember your name, but I know Jesus' name. He said, I know Jesus' name. I said,
we are right at 15 minutes after 10 a.m. on a beautiful Monday morning. Now let's listen to the man of God come forward with the word of God. Apostle Reuben Skinner from Jamaica Queen, New York, with Speak the Word Ministry. I am Radio.
Each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him love.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete. Because without it done, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why. Except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love. in the war. And she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I believe I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
He's just been so good to me.
Color him father.
I know I've got to color him love.
Color him love.
I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I've got to color this man love.
Color him love.
He's just been so kind.
Color him father.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. This is Apostle Reuben Skinner coming to you live from my living room / kitchen / dining room / bedroom / porch / job at the Wild Wing Cafe in Briar Creek / my car. Wherever God is, there you'll find the apostle. Coming to your life. Oh, I feel God. I feel God. I just feel God's presence. And I have a lot to be grateful for. And now to the apostle shout out. I want to give a shout out to Melissa C., my darling daughter, who God sent to rescue me, the apostle. I tell you, if God ain't sent my daughter Melissa into my life, where would the apostle be? And to her husband, Rolando. Rolando, I love you as a father-in-law. I couldn't have asked for a better son-in-law. Keep on doing what you're doing. Make my daughter happy. Make God happy. Make yourself happy. Make your family happy. And make the apostle happy. To another one of my daughters, Benet, and three of the apostle grandkids, Miss Ava, who's about 7, 8 years old, running things, and to July and to Sean. To my brother Leslie and his wife Susie in Astoria, Queens. To my brother Marvin and his wife Wanda in Richmond, Virginia. To my son, Timothy the Apostle, the one who wrote the original theme song that brings the apostle on. To Minister Dimitri and her husband Antoine. And to some of my new listeners. To Elena C., my best woman friend, there in Canterville, Maryland. Elena. I met Elena some years ago. My love for Elena has not died. I tell you, you couldn't find a better friend than in that of Elena. To my loving niece, Peachy, in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, New York. I tell you, we've been separated because of distance and because of things, and no, our relationship was not estranged. It's just sometimes when you move, you lose connection. And then because of the power of the internet and because of family members, Lord, our relationship have come alive. So I thank the Lord for Peachy. And I thank the Lord for Elena. I thank the Lord for Pastor Marvin and Frequay Marina. I thank God for Pastor Isaiah P. in Morrisville. To Carrie Barnes, my best male friend in New Jersey. To the Beat the Art team. I said to the Beat the Odds team with your host, Pastor Kearney, there at the NFI radio station. Hey, Mother Harris. Hey, Mother Harris, I just want you to know, I don't know you and I never met you, but Apostle loves you. To the staff at Wild Wing Cafe in Briar Creek, Raleigh, location. Hey, Corey. Corey R., the GM in Regional Manor, manager. Roses are red, violets are blue. God has truly, truly favored you. Go, Corey, go. A true man's man. One of a man's finest friends. God bless you, Corey, my friend. Corey, I just want you to know I love you. Corey, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love Miss Sarah. I love Miss Joanne. I, I love Kayla. I just love all the co-workers there at the Raleigh Wild Wing, Briar Creek location, right there off of Briar Creek Turnpike, right adjacent to the Bank of America. Yes, sir. I love that place, and I love the people. And I want to give a shout-out also to Miss Beverly right there. Yes, Miss Beverly, I didn't forget you. Miss Beverly of the Go Raleigh buses. So many of you. So the Taliban claims victory over the last of the resistance. I ask the question, how is it possible that they're claiming victory over someone that voluntarily left? They didn't beat them. They didn't defeat them. They left. So where is your victory? So President Biden's approval rating drops. I don't get it. He does what three former administrations didn't do. He did what the American people wanted him to do. The Afghanistan president got on a plane, left Afghanistan. Their government leaders ran. Their military, over 300,000 strong soldiers that America taught and trained, multiple billions of dollars in warfare, arsenal, tanks, and planes, the best equipment they can have, and they ran. It's 75,000 Taliban fighters, 300,000 of my Lord, and they ran. But Biden gets blamed, and I'm trying to figure this out. Biden did something good, and then they say he didn't get all the Americans out. Well, let me tell you something. And I don't understand this, people. You won't leave because you have extended family members over in Afghanistan. So you're going to stay with your extended family members, and the United States is telling you to leave. You won't leave because you want all your family out, so they can't get all your family out, and the Biden administration is blamed. I asked the question. Since I was a young man, and I still haven't got a legitimate answer to this question. Why is it when the United States government tells the people of the United States not to go to hostile countries, not to go to hostile regions, and they go anyway against the wishes, against the warning of the American government, then they get taken by force, and they want the American government to bail them out. They want the American government to get them out. I don't understand it. The American government told you not to go. They warned you not to go. They told you of the possibilities of what would happen to you if you went. So now you went. Things turned around. Now you're a prisoner in a hostile country, and you want the American government to get you out. So you rally the people back here in America, and you put pressure on the American government. You better be glad I'm not the president, because you'll stay over there, but that's okay. That's okay. The Republicans, they rave. So now we have a new COVID strain. The news media. I tell you, the news media, listen, I don't get it, people. I don't get it. I do understand. The news media, they take news. Like, for instance, in New York, you know, we had the hurricane. It was in New York. So the news media go and get the worst pictures possible, and they blast these pictures all over the world, and they tell you New York is shut down. New York is under this, and New York is under that. But guess what? The majority of my family lives in New York. And everybody in my family was able to travel. They get pictures of flooding in certain areas, but they try to make it look like entire New York is underwater. You know, that's what the news media do. You know why? Because they get ratings. And when they get ratings, they get these top spots. And not only do they get top spots, top pay. And not only do they get top pay, but guess what? They write books. So they give us news. They exaggerate the news. They're fear-mongering. They put fear into your heart. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus made you the guardian of your heart. You got to stop taking this stuff. Jesus said, take no thought. And we take thought all day. I said we take thought all day. Thought that have nothing to do with you. You get up in the morning and the devil say, there go arthritis, and you grab arthritis. Whoop, that's my arthritis. The devil say, you're depressed. You say, oh, I'm depressed. You take depression. The devil tell you got anxiety. Whoop, you grab anxiety. The devil tell you you're frustrated. The devil tell you you're mad. The devil tell you you're going to have a bad day. So you set yourself out to have a bad day. And remember, the apostle told you there is no such thing as a bad day. I said there is no such thing as a bad day. There may be listen, there may be things happening within a day's period, but that has nothing to do with the day itself, because Lamentations, you need to read the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, starting at verse 21 to about 24, and it'll tell you, morning by morning, new mercies, God give you mercy, God give you grace, God give you everything that you need for the new day in place. So there's nothing wrong with the day. Only circumstance, only situation, only mishap that the devil demon throw you away. But guess what? You have the victory. I say you have the victory. People, I'm going to tell you something. There's absolutely nothing. I'm going to say it again. There is absolutely nothing that can happen to you that God won't get the victory out of. I tell you, I'm going to say it again because you don't get it. There is absolutely nothing that can happen to you that God won't get the victory out of. I don't care if it's death. I don't care if it's a mishap. I don't care if it's circumstance. I don't care what it is. God will give you the victory. You know what God showed me? You go around walking around in unbelief. You go around walking around in fear, and you trying to wonder. You trying to figure it out. You trying to say, well, how is God going to do this? So you take the matters into your own hands, and you try to figure it out, and you try to plan. You try to fix it. You put money in place. You put people in place. And all of a sudden, God blows on it. God blows on it, and all your plans are gone. All of your plans. Everything is gone. Whoop, up into a puff of smoke. You know what the Holy Spirit shared with me? God is a creator. And God creates. You didn't hear that. God creates. God creates miracles. If you need a way out, there don't have to be a way out. God will create a way out. I grew up in New York as a young man. And in New York, they got skyscrapers. And these are buildings. These are office buildings. These are apartment buildings. And the reason why they call them skyscrapers, because they literally scrape the sky. New York has buildings that's 100 stories high, 90 stories high, 80 stories high, 60 stories high. New York has skyscrapers. It's the world trade. It's where the world comes together for trade. And New York have built these magnificent, giant buildings, and they scrape the sky. And all through my youth, God would show me that I would be leaning on the edge of a building with no hope and no way of escape. And I looked around in great fear and great peril. These are dreams. These are visions. And I know there's no way out. And all of a sudden, here I am on the 90th floor, the edge of the building about to fall off, and a fireman shows up. God always created a way of escape. I remember when the Lord Jesus himself, and I really don't want to get into this because I don't want to get away from my message, because God has given me a message. But the apostle wants you to know that God creates miracles. God creates things. God put things in place that are not in place. So stop worrying. Did you ever need a miracle? And you wondered how you were going to go get a miracle? So unfortunately, foolish you, because of what you were told, you go fasting and you go praying and you go knocking on heaven's door and you go knocking doors down. And the reason why you knock heaven's door down is because you are entrapped in unbelief. You are entrapped in fear. And this is what my message is. My message is about God the Father. I said God the Father. So I did a series of messages on giving honor to our fallen troops. I spoke about the Arlington, Virginia Memorial, where it's to the unknown soldier. Spoke about the unknown God at the Mars landing with the Apostle Paul. So today, I want to give honor to God the Father, whom many have caused the world to walk away from because of religion. How ugly, how sad, how depriving, how depraving, how ugly, how serious people have caused God the Father to be looked upon as a religious article. God the Father ain't religion. God the Father created. He created all things. And we have made religion out of him. So today, I want to give honor to God the Father, and I want to color him Father. So the recording that you just heard takes us into our message. It's a tribute. Yes, color him Father. Jesus said, God is our Father. That, of course, of you that is born again, because God is not everybody's Father. I said, God is not everybody's Father. Here's a mystery. So we are all born into the human family. But being born into the human family does not make God our Father. God is not the father of the human family. God is only the father of those that were born again. Sin, the action that Adam created, that Adam caused, a rippling effect that now in order to be a child of a father, we must be born again. I spoke to a young man the other day, and he told me that he had done some wrong in his life. He said, but the good that he did outweighed the wrong that he did. And most people are misled by thinking that God honors good versus evil, that God honors wrong versus right. You heard the apostles. You think because you good and somebody is evil, or somebody does wrong and you do right, you think you got a star with God. God has put things in place. For some reason, we think we can buy our way into heaven. For some reason, we think we can buy God's favor. You don't buy God's favor. God has things in place to give you his favor. Somehow you think you earn God's grace. You don't earn God's grace. God gives you grace because of love. God shines his love. God shines his grace. God shines his favor. It's not because of nothing you did. God has put things in place, people. Listen, I love the Lord. And I thank the Lord because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So I want to ask you a question. Are you one with the Father? I said, are you one with the Father? And if you are not one with the Father, I want to ask you, why not? I had a stepfather. His name was Big G. He was a great man, and he loved me. He was a wonderful man that helped to raise me. I color him Father. Jesus made multiple declarations of God the Father. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, listen, I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to go away from where I want to go. In Matthew chapter 6, and I want to start at verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He's talking about the Father. Jesus is making God the Father personal. Jesus is bringing God the Father personally into your life. Jesus is giving you access to God the Father. He said, go into your prayer closet. He ain't saying you got to be religious. He ain't saying you got to fast for 40 days. Why is it we got to earn from God? Jesus already gave us the remedy. Jesus gave us the antidote. He said, I and the Father are one. So why are you not one with the Father? Now let's go down to verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Look at this, people. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't want y'all to miss this. Our Father, which art in heaven. We're talking about the Father of the believers. We're talking about the Father of those that are born again. We're not talking about the Father of those that think they can earn God's favor, think they can earn grace. God sheds grace. God sheds favor. God sheds love. That's who he is. You don't have to earn it. But look at this. Our Father, which art, A-R-T. I want you to look at this thing, people. Our Father, which art in heaven. God is an artist. The heavens and the earth is not his complete signature of creation. The heavens and the earth are the things that we're familiar with. The heavens and the earth, astronomers, they still look throughout the universe and they find more and more. The heaven and the earth is just one signature of what God does. How many times have you given your signature over a lifetime? God asked me a question some years ago. God said, when I created the heavens and the earth, God said, where was I? And boy, when God said that, I stopped what I was doing and I sat down. Because I knew that God was going to hit me with dynamite. I know God was about to give me a revelation that was going to blow my mind. God said, when I created the heavens and the earth, where was I? Well, look at an artist. When an artist paints a portrait, when an artist creates a creation, whether it be bronze or metal or paper, or whatever it is that artists use, because you know in today's time, in this high-tech society, in this time that everything is art, when an artist creates something, where is the artist standing? The artist is standing outside the portrait. The artist is standing outside, away from that which he's about to create. So the heavens and the earth was not a part of God's habitat. God did not inhabit the heavens and the earth. God was standing outside the heavens and the earth when he created the heavens and the earth. Do you get the picture? Oh, I know somebody just said that's sacrilege, man. That's foolish. That's because you don't know how big God is. You got God pinned down in religion. You got God tied down in a small box. If man can design a spaceship that can go to the moon, if man can design a spaceship that can go to Mars, then God can design and create the galaxies, the hemispheres. God can create. Somebody said, well, how big is God? You will never find out as long as you're living in this human body. As long as you are housed and enclosed by this finite mind, you will never know how big God is. Somebody said that, well, the earth is his footstool and the heaven is his throne. Well, if the earth is his footstool and the heaven is his throne, then how big is God? Ah, you got to listen to that. So God asked the apostles, where was he when he created the heavens and the earth? I tell you, our vision of God is small. And this is why I want to color him Father. I want to bring God. I want to bring God the Father into your normal, everyday life. Years ago, the apostle was married. Apostle had a wife. Yes, he did. And my wife used to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to Daddy. And I got offended. I said, you don't call God Daddy. But you see, she knew something that I didn't know. God was her Daddy. God was her Father. She had a relationship with God. I had a relationship But my relationship with God the Father was not as personal. So now I realize that Jesus said, pray, our Father that art in heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Listen, I'm not talking about what they teach you in Bible college. I'm not talking about what you get off the internet. God said, emptied, emptied, emptied. I'm so big. I'm so great. I'm so large. You can't fill me with nothing but me. And this is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I tell you, God has given us so much. God has given us so much. Jesus made God the Father personal. You have a heavenly Father. Some of you might not have an earthly Father. Some of you, your Father may have gone on. Some of you, your Father may have left. Some of you, your Father may have been killed in wars. But I tell you, you got a heavenly Father that you can access. Jesus said, whatsoever thing you ask the Father in my name, that he'll do. Jesus said, whatsoever thing you bind on earth, he will bind in heaven. Whatsoever thing you loose on earth, he'll loose it in heaven. Listen, I believe in miracles. I said the apostle believes in miracles. All my life, I walked in miracles. All my life, I walked in healing. All my life, I mean what I'm saying, and I don't care who don't like it. I walk in the supernatural. I live in God's presence. I pray for thousand upon thousand upon thousand of hours on my knees until I degraded my knees. The apostle, the man of miracles, the man that walked in miracles, had to have a knee replacement, and it saddened me because I said, God, you have raised the dead in my ministry. I said, God, you have given miracles that blow the mind in my ministry. Why didn't you give me a new knee? And God showed me something. He showed me about the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul was afflicted and he went to God three times and God said, my grace is sufficient. God had to send a buffeter to keep Paul humble. God had to send a buffeter for my feet to remain on the ground. Oh, God, glory. Because God obeys pride. I said, God obeys pride. The Bible says in the book of Job, for God speak once, yea, twice, and man perceived it not. In the bed, in the dream, in slumbering upon the bed, God opens up the heart of the ears of man and seals his instruction. Well, God will speak to the apostle. And guess what? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He know how to console your heart. The Holy Spirit said, Reuben, when Jesus rose from the dead, he said he rose with multiple scores of those that had died. Jesus rose from the grave victorious. He had the keys of life. He had the keys of death. He had the keys of hell in his hand. And guess what? Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he had scars. He said, behold, Thomas. He said, behold the nail prints in my hand, the prints in my feet. He said, thrust your hand into my side. Now, here's Jesus, the Son of the living God, with scars. I tell you, God said that your scars, oh, good God, glory, your scars is a testimony. Somebody said, how can your scars be a testimony? Well, God said that my scars are a testimony. So we look all through the Word. And in the same chapter of Matthew, we go to everywhere you look through the Bible, and my time is running out, so the apostle got to bring it in. Jesus is talking about his Father. Jesus said, anything I do, the Father speaks to me. He said, I go to the Father. You remember when Jesus went out and an audience was there, and the Bible says that Jesus went into the mountain to pray. Jesus looked on the crowd and Jesus saw that there was more to this thing that he needed. Yes, the Son of God needed more because the Bible said that the crowds were getting enormous. The crowds were getting loud, larger. So Jesus had to go back up into the mountain and he had to talk to God the Father. And when Jesus came down, he gave us a famous beatitude. but he had to go to the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I want to color God the Father. I want to color him love. I want to color God the Father. Color him, my Father. I want to color God the Father. I want to color him. Color him victorious. I want to color him omnipotent. Oh, my God. Y'all know all the religious words that we give God. Everything that's good, everything that's great, everything that's wonderful, everything that's victorious, God is able to fill every need in your life. So I want to color God the Father because I know God the Father. Years ago in 1973, God the Father gave me a vision. I was riding a tricycle, and that tricycle went to a bigger bike, to a bigger bike, to a bigger bike, and then it became a racer, and then became a better racer, and I began racing through the city streets of New York, and the apostle fell, and I seen a hand come down from the heavens. It was God the Father's hand, and he picked me up, and he stood me on my feet, and he dusted me off. He let me know in the dream that things were going to happen, that things were going to come. Listen, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still water. Why? Because he restores your soul. God knew everything that you was going to do. He knew every failing. He knew every time you was going to fall. He knew every choice you were going to make, but he called you anyway. So people, all I want to know, are you and God the Father one? You cannot just talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I went to a woman's house, and it saddened my heart. It broke my heart. All she could talk about was Jesus. But she was talking about Jesus religiously. Her hair was falling out of her head. And, I mean, she was talking to the apostle, and I got enough wisdom not to talk back to a woman that's nearly 20 years older than the apostle. I tell you, I and the Father are one. So let's see what's going to happen next week. Let's see what God the Father is going to give the apostle to say. And remember, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And remember, Caesar is alive and well. So until next week, I say to my listening audience, I say to my family, Jesus is alive and well. Well, Pastor Kearney, take it back. I'm giving it back to the studio. I drop the baton, or I give you back the baton, and I drop the mic. It's yours, Pastor Kearney, in the studio.
The man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile when he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man Father.
Color him, Father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him Father.
Color him, Father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him, Father.
You've been listening to Apostle Rupert Skinner from Jamaica, Queens, New York, with Speak the Word Ministries. Be sure to join him right here every Monday at 10:15 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I pray that you receive the word that he's brought forth today. We'll be right back with more great gospel music here from the NFI Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jesus is alive and well.